First of all, it's good to be back. This is probably one of my favorite topics. I love my home. I love being at home. I love being a mom. And so it's a joy, actually. This is not a hard thing for me to spend time studying. It's also something that over the years, I think I've just observed that even women who are committed to the Word, who are believers, this group of women like this, we still tend to undervalue our role as a wife and a mom and don't maybe fully understand what a privilege and what a honor it is to be given the responsibilities of our home and our family and our kids. And so tonight, as we kind of get started, a couple of things have been going through my mind. I've actually been thinking about this for a while, and of course, the closer you get to tonight, you start thinking about it more and more. But I just, one thing that as I was driving here, even on the freeway tonight, the thought that kept coming back to me is that if we serve a God who has called us specifically, and I think tonight we'll see specifically, I'm going to try to point us through scripture first and then end on the practical side. We don't serve a God that would call us to do something and give us a responsibility and a priority for our lives from a spiritual perspective. We don't serve a God that would do that and then expect us to just flail and fail as we're trying to figure it out. He will provide everything needed for what he has called us to do. So as we go through tonight, I want you to keep that in your mind. He will provide everything that we need. He through his every spiritual resource, every skill and ability, he will provide for that. He's not called you to a role that he's looking to wait to see if you're going to fail in. He wants you to find great joy, great blessing, great fulfillment in what he's given to you. So I just want to kind of say that kind of as we start. And then a couple more thoughts. So one of my primary goals, that being said, is that we are reminded about the high priority of Scripture. I really do want us to see that. So I am going to spend probably the first little bit of time, first half maybe, kind of just reviewing what Scripture says about this area. I tried really hard. I thought, I'll just jump into the practical, and I just couldn't do it. Because you have to know the biblical kind of parameters to really appreciate and really embrace the practical. So I want you to remind us, you guys are a well-taught group, so it'll be a reminder, and a lot of these things you've heard before, and that's okay. I also want to hopefully and just encourage you to continue to pursue with excellence the roles that God himself has given to you and the just the different responsibilities, because it's a lot. It can be overwhelming. It can be discouraging. So just to encourage you to keep on pursuing excellence when you're managing your home and caring for your children. Also, with that said, though, also, it's a good time whenever I come to a night like this, it's also a good time to just take a moment and kind of evaluate. How am I doing? There's always areas I can improve in. Always, even after years and years and years of working in my home. There's always areas that I can improve in and I can do better in, or maybe I've just forgotten about or I've let slide a little bit. So what are some areas that, you know, hopefully you'll walk away, you know, I could probably maybe spend some more time on that area this week and it would help, it would benefit my family. So kind of, it's the spur one another on at 11 good works principle. And then as we spend time in your groups later on, I really hope that you'll have some opportunities to share just some practical ideas. You guys have some experience and ideas, and you know you have things that you're doing that are helpful. It's not, I don't know everything. You guys have got great resources, great tools, and so I hope you'll have some time to share that and kind of be practical about that. So that's kind of our direction that we're going. A couple more just kind of introductory thoughts. We're going to be focusing on one area tonight. I always like to say this. It's like one area. And so we're focusing on management. We're really hitting that hard. There's lots of other responsibilities that the Lord's given to you in your life. You know, your husband and your children and ministry, other things. So I understand that. I want to acknowledge that up front. We're just focusing on one area. And so just kind of keep that in mind. Don't lose sight of the people in the middle of all this. That's kind of what I'm thinking through here. Every season in your life, as we go through these principles in home management, requires some flexibility and I would say adjustment. I think this is the one area where I have constantly having to
reevaluate, make changes. Every time I brought a new baby home, readjust, make changes. My husband had to change in employment, readjust, make changes. And so it's not a, okay, we're going to do it this way and I'm good for life. Okay, this is not going to happen. It's going to be constantly adjusting. So you all have a mind of flexibility. Maybe that's the way to put it, with this area. You need to have a direction that you're pursuing, but there'll be a lot of times when you have to adjust and you have to make changes, and that's okay. Also, you all have uniquely gifted, the way I call it, a term that I just made up, but it helps me to remember, God-given boundaries. That's what I think about in my life. I have God-given boundaries. So those God-given boundaries are things like maybe my health or the number of children that I have and their special needs, or like right now I'm caring for my elderly parents. That's a boundary because I'm not free to do everything in order to care for them. Perhaps your husband's season, like he's in seminary and studying a lot. That's a boundary. So things like that. You each have uniquely given, God-given boundaries, and we need to work within those. Not constantly fight, because you'll have a lot of discontentment if you're not kind of embracing what the season is and also the boundaries that the Lord has given to you. And then just maybe one or two more thoughts, because it kind of sets the framework for where I went ahead. Perfection is not our goal. That's not what we're talking about here tonight. Okay, we're talking about setting a direction, a tone in our homes that is, we're committed to our homes. We're setting a direction for our homes, because the ultimate goal is to provide a safe and loving and peaceful home for our husbands first and then our children, and not the other way around. I do say that, for your husband first and then your children. And then after your children, husband and children, guests. You know, people that you would, well, the practicing hospitality, which is another topic, but practicing hospitality, I firmly believe a big part of home management is you organize and, or you have an orderly home so that you're free to bring people in. Because I don't know about you, but when my home's really messy, I don't want people to come, okay? So it's like, I really don't. You know, people come over and you're putting things in the closet and okay, there's an element of that, I get it. You know, but overall, if you have an orderly home, you know, you generally are more likely to be open to practicing hospitality. So there's reasons why you want to do that. And then maybe just two more thoughts to kind of set the framework. This is an area, I think, that's really easy to compare ourselves with other ladies. You know, well, she's doing that way. And her home is always perfect. And it's easy to compare. And I just know contentment and comparing is a whole different topic, but I know that comparing always leads to discontentment. Always. Always. There's, without a doubt. Whatever you're comparing is going to lead to discontentment in whatever the area is. And so we're not going to be comparing here. You all have unique skills, abilities, gifts, methods. God has put that package together in you. And so let me give you it's a silly example, but you'll get the point. Some of you are very much list makers. You're list makers, and you have to write it down, and there's just such joy in checking off that thing. I'm a list maker. I will even write things down so I can cross it off, because it feels so good, okay? So there's that group, right? That's the type of manager you are. You're probably a little more structured. You like those lists. You like the charts. Then there's my other sweet gals, maybe more on this side. I would say you're more of a directional planner, okay? You're not really structured. And you're going to get it done, but there's not going to be a list in sight. And it's going to maybe look different every single day you do it, but it's getting done, okay? And so it's okay. There's not a right or a wrong. I think some structure is helpful, and we're going to talk about that. But it doesn't have to look, my point is, it doesn't have to look like your neighbor, okay? So the Lord's created you. You're uniquely gifted. You have lots of different experiences and skills. If there's an area you lack in, get counsel. Grow in it. It's okay, and it doesn't have to look like everybody else, okay? Last thing, probably I should have started with this one because it's probably the most important one. You need to consult your husband in this area. I think sometimes we think, it's my area, my domain. I'm in charge. I'm doing this. But we kind of forget that, you know, the whole reason why we're doing that is to serve and bless our husband or our family in obedience to the Lord. Absolutely. But he's going to be the primary recipient of your management, I guess I should say. And so sometimes, this is a lesson I had to learn early on, newly married. When I was newly married, I was working full-time. We didn't have kids. And so a lot of times when I was doing my task, you know, home management task, cleaning, laundry, or whatever it was, I would do it at night. And I can remember so clearly, we'd only been married a few years. I can still remember I was hustling around doing something, trying to be really faithful because I was working and I did not want to compromise my home, right? I'm convicted. I'm teaching this stuff. And I remember my husband, Mark, he just reached out and grabbed my arm and he said, "Can you just sit down? Can you just stop and sit down?" And I was like, I'm thinking there's something wrong. He's like, "No, I can't relax. I can't rest. I feel like I have to do something. It's like, I can't rest. Every night you're doing tasks." And I realized, oh my goodness, I totally missed the point. I was getting my tasks done, but I totally missed my husband. I wasn't serving him. I wasn't creating an environment that he felt restful and relaxed in. And so I had to adjust to, you know, doing maybe more on Saturdays or more, whatever. If he had a meeting, you know, he was gone at night, things like that. But when he was home, I needed to stop. I needed to sit with him. I needed to engage in whatever the activity he was doing, or I needed to, whatever. I just need to be quiet. I need to be still, you know, because that's what was helpful to him. And so I've never forgotten that. He was very kind about it and very, very gracious, but it's like, oh, I totally kind of forgot my husband and all this. So don't do what I did. Don't make the same mistake that I did, but how can you fit what he needs? And I would suggest sometime this week, going home and asking for his input. How do you feel about how our home is organized? Are there areas that you think we should do better in? How are you feeling about how clean it is? You know, whatever it is, do practical stuff. And you might be surprised what they give you back. Sometimes it might be helpful, like, well, yeah, it would be helpful if you maybe this was a little better. Or sometimes it's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Our home is fine. I don't think we need anything. You know, it's like, oh, okay. So I'm kind of stressing about things that he's not even seeing. So talk about, you know, talk to your husband. Okay, that was a lot of like parameters, but I felt I needed to get out there because sometimes we really can have misconceptions maybe or things that aren't helpful. Okay, tonight, I want to look at three areas. I'm going to use three kind of parameters. I want to talk about, first of all, starting for our motivation for home management. Then I want to understand or look at what scripture says about our mandate for home management. And then at the end, talk about methods, okay? So that's kind of the direction that we're heading. Let's start with looking at our motivation. I gave you a handout. Sorry, I kind of went crazy in all the content, but that's because I was going to go really fast. And I thought, if I just give them a resource, they can go back, okay? So that's why there's so many handouts and different things, because I'm going to go really fast so we can get through this. Okay, let's talk about our motivation. So our motivation, let's just make sure we understand, define that word. What's your incentive? What's your reason? What's your kind of driving force behind why we're doing this? Now, we're going to get to the biblical aspects because I don't know, I think it was because scripture says. I know, but there's other reasons why we might be motivated. I want to suggest three that are not biblical and three that are, because these are things that I have had to work through in my own life or I've seen in other women. First of all is convenience. One of the reasons why we're going to do unbiblical first. If you're questioning it, that's unbiblical. convenience. In other words, it's easier if I do it myself, which let me just say, it is easier if you do it yourself. However, it's also a really selfish perspective in that I have learned, and I had to learn too, that I rob the joy of, for example, training my children, okay? When I used to have my children help me, it would take so much longer, so much longer. And you know what? The quality might not have been exactly what I was expecting. You know, they were definitely in process of learning those skills. So sometimes I'm just going to take it over. It's better for me. It's more convenient. And then we kind of get in this mode of, I'm in charge. I'm going to do it. Forget it. Go to your rooms. Okay. And you've kind of cut off the people. You can even do this to your husband. He comes in to help you, and you know, bless their hearts, they do try. But sometimes they struggle a little bit in meeting what might be your expectation, right, for cleanliness. So even that can be versus, you know, receiving it graciously and saying, you know, thank you, you're trying to help me, And maybe if I let him help me, we would actually have more time on the other end for family or whatever it is. So convenience is not the greatest motivation. Secondly is control. And I'm just going to call this, it's kind of like the principle of overmanaging. Maybe that's a better way to put it rather than control. You kind of overmanage where your home kind of becomes stifling, where like you don't want any messes. Kids don't get to have the toys out. You know, it's like you've got a little, there's control. Everything's just got to look neat. I think of this, when I think of this kind of control, I think of like you want your house to look like a magazine. Okay, if you have kids, just forget that. It's not going to look like a magazine, right? And you know what? That's okay. Is that really the goal? I mean, it's really not, right? You want to create a safe, warm, welcoming, and I would suggest fun environment. And in my house, fun was always messy. Always messy. Now, you can have boundaries. I'm not saying go crazy and, you know, let the run wild. But I'm just saying, I think sometimes we get a little bit over-managing. So be cautious of that. And then this last one, I think it's something that we all struggle with as women. Just compliments is the word I use. The desire to be affirmed. I'm going to suggest this is also perhaps a part of fearing man. Fearing what they're going to think of you if they walk into your home and it's not like, you know, spotless and spick and span and everything looks like that magazine picture. It's a form of fear of man. And so I think we have to be cautious about that. In our own weaknesses, desiring to have affirmation. And here's a little test. This was always the test of my heart. Every night when my husband would come home, if I worked really hard, cleaned the house, everything was spick and span, did he notice? And did he say anything? And there was a season where it really ticked me off when he didn't notice it. I'm like, what in the world? I spent the whole day trying to get this neat. I packed up the kids' toys an hour ago. Everything's great. And you didn't even notice. You know, well, that was a sinful response on my part because then it kind of reveals who I'm working for. I'm working for the affirmation of man, not the affirmation of the Lord. Okay, so I think we have to kind of check our hearts. And why are we doing this? Okay. Then I'm going to suggest three perhaps motives that are more biblical, and then we're going to go to the specific commands of where we see this. The first one I'm going to suggest is that one of the reasons why we want to manage our homes is just simply, I said, submissive obedience. Desiring your home to be ordered well, managed well, because scripture does command us that this is a responsibility for us. And I'll just kind of leave it at that. The Titus 2, 1 Timothy 5, and Proverbs 3, we're going to look at in a minute. So we are commanded, it is a responsibility. And I would just say, let me read Psalm 128:1. It says, blessed are those who fear the Lord and walk in obedience to him. And that's what fear of the Lord is. Fear of the Lord is walking in obedience to him. And so as women who want to fear the Lord, we want to obey what he has commanded us to do in other areas too, but specifically in this area is our unique responsibility. So as we look at those passages in just a few minutes, this is a great motivation. Yes, we should be submissive to scripture. We should want to obey. And this is a motivator to help us keep moving and learning and growing and doing with excellence for that. So the first one is, that's biblical, is submissive, obedience, submission to scripture. Secondly, and also another motivation that we can totally affirm from a biblical perspective is stewardship. You've been given resources during certain seasons. There'll be limited resources. And so you want to be a good steward. A steward, as you know, is simply defined as manager. Manager of the things the Lord's given to you. And you want to be found faithful in those. So viewing yourself as a faithful steward, wanting to make the most of your food budget or make the most of the resources the Lord's been giving you and time and energy, those are all good stewardship issues. That's the right motivation. You do want to be a good steward. And you want to please the Lord through faithful management. That's something that we can affirm that we see in scripture. And then lastly, and there's others, but I'm just pointing out a few, is just sacrificial love. It's the Philippians 2 principle, putting others before yourself. And I would say two ways that you would see this is first to your family. It's a very loving thing to work really hard to have a well-ordered home, to have a clean home, to have nutritious homemade meals, you know, to have their thoughtful, being thoughtful about the needs at your family. That's very sacrificial. And that is what the Lord has called us to do, not only in our homes, but to others. But the first people that are going to be recipients of that love primarily will be your husband and then your children. And that we can affirm in Scripture. And then the second part under that sacrificial love would be to guests, those that you have, you bring into your home, those that you have over, friends, family, extended family, strangers, whoever it might be, they are going to be blessed by the work and the sacrifice of your labor of love. And managing your homes is a labor of love. Okay, it's not very glamorous to get in there and scrub those toilets, but it's a labor of love. And so I think you need to see that. So our motivations is kind of the first thing that I would just say, I would encourage you just to take some time this week. You know, what is my motivation here? What is moving my heart? What is, you know, why am I committed to this? And make sure that there's not any sin issues that we need to work through. Because, you know, fear of man or being proud, those are things I need to work through and confess to the Lord before I get really much further. If you are focused on having control and convenience, you will always have frustration. You will always be disappointed, and you will really rob yourself of the joy of managing your home well. So just kind of take a moment to evaluate. And I put that verse, I think I put in your handout. I should have your handout in front of me. Psalm 119:133. I've just really, this really just struck me when I was kind of thinking through this area. Establish my footsteps in your word and do not let any iniquity have a dominion over me. So even in this area, we can sin against the Lord and against others. So we just need to be cautious that we do that. So I think you understand we need to evaluate our hearts as we start with the motivation. Now, let's look at the mandate. Mandate simply means like an order, an instruction, or a command. And that's the word that this is. It's commanded. So it sounds kind of strong, but you need to understand this isn't an option for us. This isn't like, if I kind of feel like it, I can do this. No, this is a command. That's the word in Scripture that's used for this. So I'd like to look at kind of three really quickly, because I want to get to the practical. There's three kind of primary areas that kind of you can see this command. Titus 2, you're probably familiar with. Titus 2, 3 through 5, we're going to start with that one. 1 Timothy 5:14, we're not going to spend much time on that, what it complements Titus. And then Proverbs 31. You're probably all aware of those three passages. Let's start with Titus 2. Now, one thing, with Titus 2, 3 through 5, you can look there. Let me just go ahead and open. Actually, I should open my Bible. Let me get there. Just one second. Titus 2, 3 through 5, we're going to go through it just quickly. And time's not going to allow us to dive into all, deeply into all of these passages, but it'll get the main ideas. And you can go back on your own time and struggle with that or work through that. Okay, first of all, before we jump into the phrase that we're focusing on in Titus 2, 3 through 5 is workers at home. So let me just read this really quickly because it's not very long, because it's important that you kind of think through the whole thing. And then I actually want to talk just a moment about the context of where these verses are kind of pulled out of, because you don't hear that a lot. And it really changes your perspective. You'll think about the context of where those verses are being pulled out. So let's just read them. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, here's our term, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands so that the word of God will not be dishonored. So before we jump into what that means to be a worker at home, I want to remind us of the context of what's going on here in Titus. Paul is writing he says in chapter 1, his true child, if you look back in verse 4, fellow believers common in the faith. And Paul's epistles generally oftentimes will address doctrine. You guys know that. Doctrinal truth. It will go over specifically kind of spiritual issues of what's happening in that church. With this one, he does do doctrinal truths, but he's transitioning here to what it looks like to have a healthy church and what it looks like to have godly men and women. And so that's where, right before this, you've got in chapter one, you've got qualifications for elders, and then it talks about the older men. Okay, so that's all happened until right before we get to Titus 2. So let's just remind ourselves, they're characteristics of a sound and healthy church. Older men in 2:1-2, they're supposed to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, sound in love, and perseverance. Older women then, that's getting into some of us. I'll let you guys decide if you're the older or the younger. Older women, they're to be reverent in their behavior. That means dignified or respectful, not malicious gossips. When you take the time to study this, it's kind of worth mentioning that malicious gossip, that's a term that's used to describe Satan as the ultimate liar. It's pretty strong, like not to be a malicious gossip. So it's pretty sobering to think about your speech in the context of being an older woman. Enslaved to much wine, that's just simply, it's an example of where you might not have self-control. So an older woman is to have, it's a self-control issue, so have self-control. And then teaching what is good. Okay, so what comes next and what we're going to look at is what is good. Like that, the teaching what is good is what we're going to see next for the younger women. So the things that come next in that list to younger women are the things that are good. The things that are good are the things that please God. Okay, so older women, as we think about the older women before we kind of breeze over to the younger women, their character is what gives them the platform for teaching the younger women. So as you're looking for someone to invest in your life, these are attributes that we look for in an older woman. Okay, so it's kind of important that you think about it. Remember, in the context of a healthy church, this is Paul's writing, this is what a healthy church looks like, these are what older women look like. So you have this older woman who has this character, so then she now has credibility. That credibility is what now she can now invest in a younger woman. Okay, now we get to the younger women. Younger women then are encouraged to love their husbands and children, and that love is based on God's love. It's that phileo love. It's that unconditional commitment, having affection for them. That's what that term means. Be sensible, that just simply means you're to be dignified, not silly. Pure, that's kind of speaks for ourselves, but that's moral purity. And then workers at home, we'll come back to that in just a minute. Kind, subject to your own husbands. Subject to your own husbands is willingly placing yourself under somebody's authority. In this case, it's your husband, but it can be your elders at your church. I mean, submission is submission. You submit to one another, you submit to your church elders, you submit to your husband. And we have a additional area that we submit to as a married women. And so it's kind of important you kind of embrace that very last thing says reverence for God, or submitting to God. It's because of reverence for God. Okay, we submit to our husbands. We do all these things because of the authority of the word. So in this context, I said all that to say this one thing. So in this context, the characteristics of these godly men and women, these are the things that not only make a healthy like church member, a healthy church, but this is what gives us the platform for also the gospel. Because it's talking about in the context of the church and being a salt and light. And so these are the attributes, not just for our home and for our own benefit of our home, although they will and they do. This is the context of if you want to have a truly gospel witness, this is what older men should look like. This is what older women should look like. This is what younger women, you know, that. So it's important that you remember that context. This isn't just about having a home that runs smoothly. I mean, that's nice, and I think management helps that. But that's not enough. This is about our gospel witness. It's so important that we understand that. So let's go back now and say, look a little bit more about that worker at home. And Beth did an awesome job. She remembered it well. Okay, it's a compound word. That worker at home is a compound Greek word. And it has two parts. The first part means a dwelling or a household. I've got this in your notes, I think, don't I? Yeah, in your notes. And so it means household or dwelling. And then ergon, that second part of the word, it means to work or be employed. If you look at other, like in Strong's, it says domestically inclined or be, I love this term from Strong's Concordance, it says a guard. You're a guard of your home. A worker of your home means you're guarding your home. I love that picture of a guard. To be a stayer at home is another way they could say that. It's not just being a good housekeeper, although that is part of it. But a keeper of the home is much more than just keeping things clean. Okay, it's to guard and protect. And just as Beth said, if it means that we're employed, I think most of you, if not all of you, probably a majority of you in here have been employed outside the home at some time, right? Have most of you sometime or another been employed outside the home? Maybe not everybody. And just think about that. Think about those skills. When you had an outside employment job, I worked outside the home for many years because we didn't have kids for many years. And so what do you have to do? You have to get up early. You have to show up on time. You have to be faithful. You have to be trustworthy. You have to take initiative. You have to work hard. You have to not waste time. You have to complete your tasks that were assigned. And think, you guys fill in the blank. What does it look like to be employed, like a real employee? That's what this term is. This term is that you're actually employed. Now, you're not getting a paycheck. I know, you're all thinking that. I don't get a paycheck. But you are. You are going to get a paycheck in your eternal reward. But you're employed by the Lord himself. I mean, think about that. You're employed. You really are if you're managing your home well. It's actually really fun to think about when you think about that. So let's kind of make it more practical. All that same diligence that you would bring and all those attributes that you would bring from outside employment, you bring them into your home. So all your organizing tasks and getting up early and staying up late and not wasting time and being trustworthy with for your husband can trust you and with the finances, all of that is like being an employee in a sense. It's much more, but being like that. I think that's helpful for me. Just as Beth said it was helpful to her, that was really helpful for me as a young wife and a young mom. This is a little bit of a lengthy quote, but I want to read it to you. It's by Pastor John, and so I've always gone back to this because he explains this. So let me just read it to you. Let me find it. Here it is. Okay, this is by Pastor John. Ergon does not simply refer to labor. It refers to a particular job or employment. Now, here's the important part. It is the same word that Jesus used when he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work," in John 4:34. Our Lord focused his entire life on fulfilling God's will. In a similar fashion, a wife is to focus her entire life on the home. Think about that. It's the same word that was used for Jesus fulfilling his role before for his father. That's the word we're talking about. God has designed the family to be her sphere of influence and responsibility. This does not mean that she should spend 24 hours a day there. However, the woman in Proverbs 31 left her home when she needed to buy a field and when she needed supplies, yet even those trips benefited her family. She poured her life into her family. She woke up early, went late for the sake of those that were in it. So that's what it means. When you're talking about worker and home, that's what that term means in Titus. Now, before we move on, because we'd miss kind of probably the most important thing, why is that so important? Titus 2:5, it reveals why we're to love our husbands, why we're to be workers at home, kind, etc. All those things we just read, it says, so that the word of God may not be dishonored. That word dishonored means another thing you could describe it as is discredited, damaged. The reputation of the word is damaged. It's tarnished. It's disgraced. That's what that means. So I think it's important that we maybe just take a moment and really pause. The purpose of our godly conduct in our homes, how we manage our home, and again, we're just focused on one aspect of it, worker at home, is so that the word of God will not be blasphemed. Remember that Paul is addressing that godly conduct. So managing our homes is part of our godly conduct. Think about that. Managing your home is part of your godly conduct. And that's why I was saying we got to look at the context. Doesn't that put so much more priority and so much more importance being a worker at home. Because the gospel is at stake. Our witness is at stake. And we'll talk about this a little bit when we get to Proverbs 31, but you're not going to look like the world because the world is not prioritizing the home. And so you are going to stand out and you are going to be different. So I spent the most time on Titus. We won't spend as much time on the others, but you've got to know that this is part of your godly conduct. That's how important it is. Okay? Let's just quickly move on then. 1 Timothy 5:14. It kind of complements Titus 2, 3, and 5. 3 to 5. And I won't spend a lot of time on it. That's where we see the term manage the house. It says, I desire, and it's addressing widows. So it's a little bit different context. I desire the younger widows to marry, bear children, manage the house. There's that term, manage the house, and give no opportunity for the adversary to speak reproachfully. So it's also a Greek term. It means everything that is included in managing the house, not just childcare, it's everything. And it's kind of like when we get to Proverbs 31, you'll see it's all the areas of home management. That's the term that's it's doing that. Anything that to be organized, orderly, thoughtful, you know, prepared, that's that term there. And so again, we see the why. Why? What's the reason? So that the adversary will not speak reproachfully. That's the reason. And now in this case, it's the context. It was to widows. And if you look at the verses previously, things that they're trying to avoid are being idle and busybodies and speaking things that they shouldn't speak. That's where you discredit the gospel. And so if you're focusing on your home and you're busy, I don't know about you, but I don't have a lot of time when I'm really doing my job. I'm doing it well. I'm not going to have time to be a busybody. I don't have time to worry about somebody else and what they're doing. Okay, so that's kind of the context there. And you can read more about that. And for the sake of time, we'll keep moving. But just know that that's another context of this term. It's there again. And again, if you study that out further, you'll see it's an opportunity for the gospel to be discredited or your witness to be discredited. So same, consistent with Titus 2. Okay, now let's look at Proverbs 31. And some of you, when I say Proverbs 31, you're going to take a minute and go, ooh, I don't know. That's just not realistic. I have actually had young ladies say, that is so fake. How could anyone do that? You know, and so I want to kind of maybe turn that around a little bit and suggest that it's totally doable, okay? And the one place where we say that the woman manages well, we see in Proverbs 31. So we got to go there, okay? So Proverbs 31. Let's flip on over here. Now, you may or may not, it's kind of interesting, have heard teaching on this. It'd be kind of interesting to know. You can talk about it in your tables. I won't do raised hands. We kind of assume that people have been taught on Proverbs 31, but oftentimes they haven't. It's kind of interesting when I've gone around, like, have you been like, no, I've never heard anything on it. So I don't know where you're at in this, so we're just going to give you a high view of this. But the Proverbs 31 woman is where we see an example, or what I'm going to say is a detailed picture of what it looks like to manage well. Okay, to manage the house or be a worker at home. We see that in Proverbs 31. So this is the woman, also, if that's the case, it's a kind of a picture of that. This is the woman that doesn't discredit the word of God. This is the woman that doesn't give opportunity for the adversary. So kind of keep that in mind, what we've already talked about. The other thing I want you to see as we go through, because I'm going to do this really fast, because I want to get to the practical stuff. The other thing I want you to see as we go through this, is that oftentimes when we have talked about Proverbs 31, or maybe you've heard about Proverbs 31, a lot of times it emphasizes the skills or the abilities that she has. I'm going to suggest that this is actually a passage about her character. And those skills that we often emphasize are what illustrate her character. And if you only focus on the skills, you're going to miss the primary kind of focus of what God wants us to see in that. Okay, so keep that in mind. The skills emphasize or illustrate, let's say illustrate, that's a better way to put it. The skills illustrate the character, and that's what's most important. And I'm only going to pull out a few of them because Proverbs 31 could take the whole night, and we don't want to do that. So I'm just going to pull out a couple of things that I think would be appropriate before we move on to our practical kind of application. The first thing I want to tell you, and I've already kind of mentioned it, but in that first verse, and we're going to start in verse 10. Sorry, I didn't say that. an excellent wife who can find her worth is far above jewels. So an excellent wife also is known as a virtuous woman. Some of your versions, depending on what you have, although I'm sure you all have the new version, but if you don't, it's excellent, virtuous, same thing, noble character. Virtuous is referring to actually her moral character, not her like physical strength or her abilities, I guess you'd say, her integrity. That's what it's referring to. Ruth, in Ruth 3:11, just kind of a tidbit, is the only woman in Scripture that's called a woman of excellence. Isn't that interesting? It's the only time you see it is one of excellence. And that's actually where I got our title, Managing Home with Excellence. It was a nod to this, okay? Managing with excellence, because we can do this, okay? So first thing I want you to say, know, is that this is your management and being an excellent home manager, you're hard to find. You're unique and you're hard to find. You are going to stand out in the world. If you tell someone you're a stay-at-home mom or I work at home and mom, I'm sure you've gotten some very interesting responses. Oh, well, that's nice. You know, or, oh, what do you do all day? You know, is that kind of boring? You know what? You know, I'm sure you've gotten all kinds of responses with that. Or, I'm sorry, that's the only thing you can do is be at home. You know, it's like, you know, I've had it all. Believe me, over the years, I've had it all. So the first thing I want to kind of point out with Proverbs 31 is your character will be different and you will look different from the world. You aren't of the world. And that's okay, you know. The next thing I want to point out kind of quickly as we move through is the heart of her husband trusts in her and he will have no lack of game. It's important to remember as we go through here that in biblical times, remember when this was written, it's biblical times, in order to maintain your household, it was actually crucial, the home management that was going on. Right now, you know, we have electric heat and gas stoves and refrigerators and et cetera, stores on every, you know, grocery stores. If I forgot something, I can, you know, go get it, right? That's not the context of this, okay? This was the context of if my wife or whoever's managing my home, in this case, the wife, wasn't on top of things, I may starve. My children may starve. We may freeze to death, okay? We may not be safe, okay? So it's kind of, it's important. So when you, don't breeze over that. When he says the heart of her husband trusts her, it's a big deal, okay? And just as it's a big deal for your husband to trust you. It also is more of a, this is the Genesis 2:24 principle of becoming one flesh. It's the Proverbs 12:4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Okay, but you got to keep reading this, the second part. But she who shames him is like rottenness to his bones. Okay, that rottenness is like that term rottenness means like an incurable, painful disease. That's what you are if you're shameful to your husband. So this is an important thing to kind of camp on for a minute. An excellent wife is a crown to her husband. You are a crown to your husband. You are a blessing to your home. You are a blessing to your husband. You are a crucial part of his ministry. And you need to remember that the Lord has called you to execute really some really unique opportunities. And it's a privilege. It's a blessing. And you can go on and read through Proverbs 31. He's being devoted and he sits in the gate. So he has a good reputation and things like that. As we continue on, I just want to point out a couple of attributes. If you keep going down to verse around 13, 14, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She's like merchant ships, which is kind of an interesting comparison, right? I'm a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. And that we probably don't appreciate what this means, but that works with her hands. It's the palms of her hands. If you go back to Hebrew, it's the palms of her hands. It means you're looking at this, okay? So what it means is that she's a hands-on manager. So when it says she works with her hands, it means she's working hard. She's in there. She's doing it. She's not lazy. She's not, we'll see later, it says she's not idle. It's that, it's complimenting that, okay? So your family's well-being depends on you using your hands, okay, working with your hands. It is hard work. There's no way around it, right? Managing your home, it's hard. It's hard work. Hard isn't bad, it's just hard. That's what I've told my kids. That's one of those things where I get the eye rolls on, oh, mom, said that again, you know. But I said that all growing up. Hard isn't bad, it's just hard. You know, it's like keep keep going, keep doing it. If you keep moving, you see that she's prepared to work hard. That's in verses 15 to 19, if you look through there. She rises up while it's still night, gives food to her household, portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it from her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength, makes her arms strong. She senses what her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. So first observation in that little kind of portion, sadly, there is no morning mom or night mom. Okay, some of you are, you know, I'm a morning person or a night person. If you're a home manager, you're actually an all day, every minute person. It's like, you're not a morning, you're not a night person. Now you can like speak to that in the sense of schedule things that you do better with in the morning or better with in the evening, but there is actually no such thing as a morning person and a night person in scripture. There it is. She gets up early, she stays up late. You see it both. So there's going to be times when you have to do both, okay? Which is more challenging to some of us than others. So you got to sort of think through that. But really what this is saying, this is the principle of stewardship. Your character is trustworthy, and that goes us back to the right motivation of your wanting to manage. She's trustworthy. Let's skip ahead a little bit and look at one thing I want to say, and then we're going to go to the practical stuff. Because I think you're getting the idea. It's all about her character. We're not seeing like, oh, I'm really good at this. I'm really good at cooking. No, it's about her character with that. Let's go on to we jump down to 20 where it says, she extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not so focused on her home that she misses meeting the needs of others. Does that make sense? She is kind, like we saw in Titus 2. She's compassionate. She's generous. And I think it's important to kind of just pause and make a note of that. She wasn't so focused on her home that she couldn't minister to other people or participate in ministry. That's hard to balance, but there it is. She's ministering to other people. This stretching out her hand to the poor, too, also, these are imageries that scripture is using. If you look at Psalm 145, 16 and 17, it's actually the imagery of God himself, how he opens his hands to us and he extends goodness. And it says this, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. When we extend our hands to those around us, it's like we're extending God's love. And so home management is important, but not to the sacrificing, ministering, and seeing real needs of people around us. Does that make sense? There's so much more we could say. She anticipates needs. If you go on and look through that in 31, 21, 22, she anticipates needs. Let's jump down to, because I want to transition into the practical stuff here. Let's transition down to verse 25, where it says, strength and dignity are her clothing, because this will kind of illustrate in a simple snapshot of what I'm talking about with her character. She smiles at the future. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and then kindness is on her tongue. That strength that we're talking about is not necessarily her physical strength, although she probably was a strong woman, having working and stuff. It wasn't not referring to that. It's referring to her spiritual strength. It's actually a term that's referring to, when you say dignity, that's a word that they would say, a woman that lives wisely. A woman that's strong in the Lord. That's her character they're talking about, not her physical abilities. And that putting on clothing, don't miss this, that putting on clothing, think about what it says in Colossians, the principle of the putting on and putting off. That's the same tie into the concept there. It's the putting on of the strength of the Lord, not the putting off, putting on, you know, physically. Okay, so don't miss that. This is an imagery of her character with that. We'll go on to see in 31:27, and we'll kind of end with this one. It says, she looks well to the ways of her household, because that's where we needed to land, and does not eat the bread of idleness. This, how I would translate this is she's able to anticipate the needs of her family. She anticipates needs. She's planning ahead. She's predicting what her family needs to the best of her ability. Obviously, there's a faith element and a trust in the Lord as we manage our homes, but she's planning. She's giving careful oversight. Maybe that's a better way to put it. And that's where you can see Proverbs 19:14 says, a prudent wife is from the Lord. Or in 12:4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Or in 18:22, He who finds a wife finds a good thing. That's why, because she's planned, she's prepared, she's protected, she's guarded her home. And then I would encourage you to go ahead and read the rest of that later on. You'll see that a woman who follows the Lord in this way, you'll see that she's unique, she's trustworthy, she's discerning, she's prepared, she's compassionate, she's able to anticipate needs. She has this spiritual strength. That's what Proverbs 3:1 is about, not necessarily about her skills, resulting in her children and her husband blessing her. But grand finale, look at Proverbs 31, very end here, before we transition, and where it says, why is that? And all the questions that I've done when I have asked that at the end of Titus and in Timothy, look at verse 30. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but what? A woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. All of Proverbs 31, the previous verses, are getting you to that point. This is what a woman who fears the Lord looks like. This is godly conduct for us as women who have been delegated. So I hope that helps expand your understanding and your commitment to what Scripture says. This is a big deal. This is what Scripture has given to us. It's exciting. We should own it. And we will not do it perfectly by any means. We will fail. And there will be days when we're lazy and we're idle. But what's your general direction? Your general direction should be wanting to honor and serve the Lord and please the Lord in this area. And your family will benefit from that. Okay, let's move on now into some practical ideas. Go into methods. I'm running short on time. Sorry, girls. I will do this quickly. And then you guys can talk about this. Give me 5 more minutes, and then you can take the last 15 on your groups. Methods. That just means like your techniques, your systems. How do you approach this? What are your processes? These are just things. There's not in any particular order. These are just things that have been helpful to me and or I have learned from either my life experience or, frankly, I learned a lot of this stuff from older women. The people that have invested in me, I have benefited from them. So first thing I'm going to suggest is that you need to organize yourself before you organize anything else. And I'm not, you sound, oh, that sounds kind of selfish. No, if you don't organize, you are going to set the organizational tone for your home. Let's put it that way. If you're not organized, your home's not going to be organized. If you're not organized, your kids aren't going to be organized. And sometimes if you're not organized, your husband may not organize. Others, although there's some pretty organized dads out there, okay? But you're going to set the overall organizational tone of your home. And so you need to do that. And I'm going to suggest that it means that you've got to have your personal papers organized. You've got to have a calendar system in place. You've got to like have systems in place that help you. So you can talk about that at your table. What does that look like to get yourself organized? For me, I have to carry a calendar. I didn't bring my purse up here. I have to carry a calendar. And if I were to open it up actually to September, it looks like a disaster. But it's like written all over. And every I don't try to remember anything. I've got appointments and I've, you know, things that have changed. But it helps me. I know I have everything in one place. So help me to be organized and start with yourself. Okay. So if you're not organized, your family's not going to be organized. Secondly, I am a huge believer in calendars, big calendars. Now, you've got this beautiful tool last time we were together. It has calendars. It has menu planners in it. It has month at a glance. It has week at a glance. You have the tools. Now, some of you may want to do your phones. That's totally fine. I'm kind of an oldie, so I still like pen and paper. I'll just admit it. I will own it, and without apology, I am a pen and paper person. The whole phone thing just doesn't work, and partly is, and I'll just share one little tip, I have to see a month at a glance, not a day or a week. And the reason for that is because looking ahead, say, like we want to have somebody over for dinner, okay, which is a great thing. That's a good thing. And I look, I say, okay, Tuesday's good. We'll do that. But if I haven't looked at the whole month, that may be the only night that my husband is home. That actually may not be the best night to have people over. And so if I haven't looked ahead and looked back and looked at everybody's schedules, it may not be. So I need more than just a week to be able to do that, you know. Or if I'm trying to prepare for something, I may need a night to not schedule something. So I'm going to suggest you can talk about calendars in your groups. But the other thing that's helpful for me is I never say yes the first time. Like if someone asks me to speak or can you do this, I'll let you know. Let me talk to my husband. Always, always talk to my husband. And check your calendars, you know, before you do that. So don't, just learn to say no. It's okay to say no, kindly, but no. Organize your time. And I would just suggest that there's a lot of time wasters out there, and probably technology is the top of my list. And I just listed some things. Internet surfing, checking your emails, online shopping, replying to texts, which are not necessarily bad things, but replying to texts, social media, things like that. I would suggest, this is something I have done, I have turned off my notifications. I don't know if you guys have done that. Turned off your notifications. All the apps that you have, you can actually turn the little dings off. You don't have to hear them. And then you can check it once or twice or however long you want to do it. The other thing that's been extremely helpful for me, I have a ringtone for every one of my children, a unique ringtone, and one for my husband. My husband's is the dun-da-da-da, you know, the Prince Charming. So whenever I hear that, I know it's Mark. I need to stop and check, you know. But all my kids have an appropriate sound for that. And so when I get that text or whatever, I haven't turned their notifications off, but when I get that text, I'll know, oh, he's probably just telling me, or she's probably telling me they're on their way home, or, hey, I shouldn't be hearing from them. They're supposed to be, you know, so I know to check it. It helps. So there's practical things that you can do to manage technology. You can talk about that at your tables for that. The other thing I might suggest is that this is kind of, I was conflicted when I first started thinking through this. I actually would encourage you to stop multitasking. You're all going, wait a minute, that's like a time-tested management thing. It's actually not. Because when you're multitasking, you're actually divided. No, you have not given your full attention to either of the tasks. And so I would suggest that you focus on your tasks. Now, there are times, I get it, I've got 5 kids, that you do have to multitask as a mom. I get it. But when you're actually trying to do particular projects, focus on one of those. I also am going to suggest that where possible for time management, routines are really helpful. Routines are very helpful. When you get up, when you go to bed, and I know it's not always possible, new babies, ministry, things like that, but they'll help your kids. They will help you to establish routines. So talk about that and how the pros and cons of routines for that. Okay, there's the 3 big areas. There's the house cleaning, there's the meals, and there is the finances. So we're to the one of these 3 big areas. We're not going to spend a lot of time on meals because we're going to spend a night on that in the spring. So we'll come back to, I've given you a few ideas. But let's talk about cleaning a little bit. I've given you a chart. Yeah, giving you a chart. This is what we're talking about. You've probably seen these. For household organizational schedules, cleaning and things like that. You need to write your own. Because some of you, like where it says, sweep the porch, you don't have a porch, okay? So it's like, it doesn't apply. You need to do your own, like your own routine. You need to know what needs to be cleaned and how to clean. I would encourage you to think about, what are my daily cleaning tasks? What are my weekly cleaning tasks? You know, and then what are my once a month and what are my annual? That's kind of how you need to start thinking about your cleaning. And I'm going to say this, and I firmly believe it. Cleaning is only hard if you do not do it. If you do clean, it is not hard. If you do not clean, it is very hard because it backs up, builds up. It's overwhelming. But if you have a regular cleaning, daily, weekly, you know, whatever it is, it's actually not as hard as it can be. And I'm going to also remind you that there's going to be seasons in this where, for example, let's just take cleaning the bathroom, you know. Cleaning it once a month may, or once a week, once a month, that'd be bad. Once a week may actually not be enough. Okay, when I had 5 little ones, many boys, not a good thing. It was a daily thing, okay? So there's seasons. You have to adjust, okay, in how you do that. So just know what to clean. Develop that schedule. This is just a sample. You can find all kinds. When I was Googling, kind of getting ready, I'm like, what's going on out there in the world right now in the house, how managed? There's so many resources. It's actually, I had to stop. I'm like, this is overwhelming. This is too much. Okay. The other thing I'm going to suggest that's really, really practical for you to be successful at cleaning is to make sure that you have the right supplies. I use caddies. I love caddies. I put a caddy under each bathroom. Okay, each bathroom sink. You can go to a dollar store, get them for a dollar. And I am also not a big believer in 1,000 cleaners. Okay, I mean, our world tends to do that. You really don't need a lot of cleaners. I mean, you need a few, you know, disinfectants, maybe toilets and stuff. Dawn dish soap can clean most of your house. It's like you really don't need all those cleaners. You do need some of the disinfectants. I'm going to, you know, I understand. You guys know that. But collect your supplies, you know, a good all-purpose cleaner. I really like those little scrub daddies with the happy faces. My kids used to like those. I use a lot of vinegar instead of a cleaner. You know, a lot of vinegar, things like that, glass cleaner, maybe toilet cleaner, disinfectant wipes. I would have my kids, this is an area, and we haven't got to that yet, but we'll just address it now. This is an area where you can get help. You should invest in your kids. And this is one of those areas where they may not clean it how you want it. But I got to the point where, you know what, something is better than nothing with the cleaning. And it's okay. It's like, it's going to be fine. Now, when you have company coming, I was always the one that came around behind and kind of did that. But for the daily kind of wipe down, and for our family, every child had a chore, and they did it for a week. So I had 5 kids, so we had 5 chores. That's just how we did it. So we had, you know, wipe down the bathroom, sweep the floor, empty the dishwasher. We had a dog at the time, so pick up the doggy mess. And I'm forgetting what the 4th one is. I'll think of it. But whatever those, however you want to do it, give them a responsibility for that. They will learn to clean. You are not helping them by not having them help. They need to learn these life skills with them. Okay, you got the idea. You can talk more in your groups. Organize your meals and grocery shopping. I've given you another sample. I think I did, yeah. Okay, this is what I'm talking about with organizing your meals. Okay, now I know the first question is going to be, this is a week sample. Is going to be, really? She types it out? I don't type it out. I write it out. So here's why I brought my notebook. I actually had to tape it together to bring it tonight. This is what it looks like. It's my Monday to Tuesday. I write out my meals, and I write what the thing is. And then the next page, let's see if I can get there. Oh, I went backwards. The next page is my shopping list. So I make my shopping list off my meals. Okay, so I just keep a notebook. I go through a lot of these. I just write it in there. Now, the thing I want to emphasize with meal planning, because you've all heard about plan your meals, organize, yeah. But what you don't hear is that you actually have to consider what's going on in your week. And that's why I wrote down the events. Okay, so let's take tonight. Okay, so I'm not home. My husband's not home. He had a meeting. I'm leaving early. I still have kids at home to feed. Okay, so if I put down, oh, we're going to do like a baked oven meal, I'm like, that's not going to happen. And so I need to consider what's going to happen. So this morning I put on a crock pot. Everybody can eat. My kids are older. You can't do that when you have little people. But my big people can. I'm like, okay, it's crock pot on. Feed yourself. It's there. And, you know, but you have to know what's going on. And I think that's part of the reason why we fail in our menu planning is we don't consider actually really being specific in what we need to do. So think through that. Consider your meals. Organize your finances. That's another one. And again, I'm going to emphasize, organize your finances with your husband, okay, with your husband. Each family household under the authority of your husband will look different in how you're handling. If you're paying the bills, great. If he's paying the bills, great. It's not really about who's paying the bills. It's about being on the same page with your finances, having the same direction, understanding the same kind of goals. Even if your husband is handling all the finances, you should know what your finances are. Because how are you going to stay under and within budget if you're not aware of what it is? So a question I always say, do you actually really know how much you spend on food each week? Could you answer that? Like, really actually know? You should. That's an example of where you should. You should know how much you're supposed to spend within your budget and how much you really are spending. Have a realistic budget. One tip that Mark and I have done over the years is we used to have these budget summits. Okay, it sounds very fancy. It was fun, but it's not fancy at all. We didn't have a lot of extra money. We couldn't afford to go out. So we would go to, Santa Barbara, find a nice hotel, go in their lobby, order a cup of coffee, and we'd sit in this beautiful room and we would work on our finances. Having a nice area kind of takes some of the tension out of like limited finances and having coffee, and it really worked well for us. We did that for years. We would do it once a year, kind of evaluate, and we didn't spend a lot of money because we didn't have a lot of money when we were first married. We don't have a lot of money now, but I mean, even less when we were first married. So just think about ways that you can do time with your husband that makes it fun, but be supportive in that. Okay, miscellaneous. You need to learn best practices, and this is, we're going to transition to your tables. There are so many practical things that can help you. And you need to share those at your table tonight. Share those with your group. Take time to plan. I will say sometimes when you're so busy and you have kids running around and everything seems a little, I don't have time to plan, you really need to fight for it. If you will take time to plan, it will save you time and money and energy in the end. So one of the times every Sunday afternoon, and I still do it even though I don't probably have to have as much time needed, I would take Sunday afternoon between church services because it seemed like everybody was really tired in between. And so it was quiet. It was quieter. And we would let them watch a movie or something like that. It was okay to relax. And so I'd take an hour and be able to plan the meals, look at what's ahead for appointments, you know, take time to plan, really actually know what's going to happen. So anticipate, it's the principle of anticipating needs. And then, this is one thing, this is a practical thing. I worked really hard having 5 kids to have a house quiet hour. Now this will not happen. Every time I had a new baby, it like got blown up and you had to work towards it again. But every time even still to this day, my kids are all adults, but we'll come home on Sunday and they say, so are you guys going to go have your hour? I'm like, yep, we're going to have that quiet hour. You know, they just grew up with that. They can sit on their beds when they're older and read books. And even when they're not napping, you can still have a quiet hour. So think about things like that will be practical for that. Okay, I got to wrap it up. I almost do all the time. Sorry, I apologize for that. But home management is a divinely ordained responsibility. I would encourage you to look at it as your employment before the Lord. A woman who's trustworthy and hardworking and discerning, all the things that we've kind of briefly discussed, it's a woman who fears the Lord. And that's kind of been our theme. And we fear the Lord so we don't discredit his word. That's our ultimate reason for wanting to really be responsible in this area. So let me just end with this. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands. That's your home management. And let her works, that's all that you do at the home. All that cooking, cleaning, praise her in the gates. All right, let me close this in our time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity just to kind of think about these concepts. Lord, I ask that you would continue to grow us, mature us, and guide us in these responsibilities. Help us to be found faithful, not perfect and not controlling, but be found faithful before you. Help us to value what you value. And this is one of those areas. And we just commit the rest of our evening to you. Pray that we would be an encouragement and a blessing to one another as we continue to share those things that you've taught us and those things that would be an encouragement to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.